Stage, very, very excited to say two particularly fantastic guests. On my right, John Lloyd, comedy genius and QI guru. And I've checked the pronunciation. John Lloyd obviously is right. And I think Sophie Grabol is right. On my left. Hello, Sophie. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Lovely to be here. Beautiful pronunciation.
Grabol.
Yes, you can move to Denmark anytime.
Excellent. Now, some. Okay, can you hear that music?
Yeah, I'm getting a bit focused now.
Yeah. This is the kind of music that makes a lot of people extremely nervous.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. It's also incidental music from The Killing. And one of the reasons that the reason was that it was a fantastic story, but the music was inspired, wasn't it?
It was inspiring?
Inspired. The music
inspired.
Choice all the way through. It gets to the end of each episode and that music comes in and it plays all the way through and we're on the edge of our seats and we're feeling...
Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah, it. We didn't have to do anything. Just put on the music and it worked.
No, you're getting slightly the wrong end of the stick there, Sophie.
No, I agree with you, yes. And I was actually... I didn't obviously know when we did the first season I knew probably they're going to put music on it, but you never reflect on that as an actor. But then when we did the second season and the third, I was kind of thrown sometimes because I knew, oh, this is one of these moments where they're going to put that piano piece on.
Yeah.
You know, you start getting very conscious about it.
Do you think one of the reasons it had such a huge impact in the UK in the original version, so we're watching it with subtitles, is because, with the greatest respect to your extraordinary cast, we didn't know any of you guys.
Yeah.
This was the first time that we'd seen all of you actors. We were completely immersed in it. Normally, if we're watching a cop show, we say, oh yeah, that's that guy. He was in that other show a while back. So the impact when it started was quite extraordinary.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a privilege you only have as an actor in your very first role, that you're like this blank piece of paper and people actually maybe believe that you are your character. And after that, like you say, every time you go on stage or on a screen, people go, oh yeah, that's, we've seen, you know, it's like you paint on top of all the old paintings. But yes, I definitely felt when The Killing was shown in the UK that people thought I was, and I almost felt I disappointed people when they met me and they said, oh, you're smiling. You're just a boring, nice person.
John, are you a Scandi Noir fan? Do you like the box set viewing of a Friday night?
I am a huge fan of Sophie and The Killing, and I have actually had the very first selfie I've ever taken of me and Sophie, because my wife would, there would be killing in my house if my wife didn't. So, no, we're huge fans. And I feel about The Killing the way I felt about when I first saw Breaking Bad. And I thought, this is the reason I went into television, to make stuff this good. I mean, because it really is absolutely pin perfect, I think.
But then had to be remade for the Americans.
Yes, because they, unlike you, they can't read subtitles.
I'm not sure if there are any Americans in tonight. But there is a general reluctance. And you were involved with that?
Oh, just for, I think, the smallest part. Like I think I had one or two scenes. Yes, I flew all the way to Canada. And I didn't really consider why. I mean, I'm our producer of The Danish Killing, we were doing the third season. And then the producer of The American Killing contacted me, and she was a huge fan of the original series, and said, oh, she thought it would be so lovely if I came over and played a scene with their Sarah Lund, who's not called Sarah Lund, who's called Sarah Linden. And I was, everything was so busy and mad, and I just thought, well, fine, so 2 days to Canada. And so it wasn't until, and everybody had asked me, do you feel weird about them doing, you know, their own version? I was like, no, I mean, I don't even care, really. I'm just focused on what we're doing. But then when when I was standing in some parking lot in a little, I played a lawyer, I think. I was in heels and a suit. And I had some information, obviously, for Sarah Linden so she could solve the case. And she approached me in that jumper and her ponytail. And in the middle of the scene, I obviously said the words and I was polite and civilized, but I, inside I was, oh, you just got a jumper.
Some of our production team thought it would be a hilarious joke to find the chunkiest jumper in a charity shop. And this is a thick net. Mind you, it's going to be pretty cold tonight, as Deadly keeps on mentioning on the news, down to 8 degrees in Edinburgh tonight. Now, my main problem with this is that it's red and white, and I never wear red and white.
Danish colours.
Is this chunky enough for you?
Well, it is. There's one big mistake, I must say. It's not a it's a cardigan. You have no authority.
No,
it's a cardigan.
No, that's true.
But just to finish my boring story, I felt when she started saying the lines and questioning me, I was like inside, I was 4 years old, and I just thought, give me my fucking jumper. What are you doing?
Okay, now
it's my jumper. Okay. You know.
Yes, that's right. Now it's my it's my job to say at this point.
That's a Danish word. It means.
Sorry.
It's a kind of cake.
Sorry, in Denmark it means cake, but we apologise.
I meant bloody.
No. No. That also.
That's a kind of fish with antennae.
So you see all those people with their hands over their mouths. My challenge to you is in your show, right? In your play, Queen Margaret. Okay, when you're playing Queen Margaret, James III, the True Mirror. You won't get a stronger reaction than that. Okay. So anyway, we apologise for all that. So, John Lloyd becoming a producer instantly and coming up with very believable reasons for the Anglo-Saxon, as I would have described it. But should we just concentrate on the Danish language? Because I thought, as a fan, that's one of the reasons it was so particularly... But I loved hearing it in Danish. We started speaking in the Danish intonation in our house, going up at the end of sentences.
Yeah. I was going to say the about the Sophie's experience with the Americans and not being able to read subtitles. There's a fact in the new QI book, which just finished, which is coming out in the autumn, which is 1 in 10 Americans think that HTML is a sexually transmitted disease. And John Cleese is telling me they tried to do a change format of Fawlty Towers in America. The first thing was they had to make Manuel couldn't be Spanish because that's racist, so they made him Albanian. Apparently it's all right to be rude about Albanians. And then they said, do we really need this Basil character? The Basil guy seems to get in the way of the show. So they cut out Basil Fawlty and then...
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Well, this is a special late night edition of the show, and even though the clock says 18 minutes past six, so... So we're going to play a tune. I forget even which tune it is, but we're going to put a song on. We'll have a few production-based conversations, and we'll be back definitely with John Lloyd, and who knows, maybe Sophie Grubble will be on for another few minutes. Here's a tune.
Took away the prophet's dream for a prophet on the street. Now she's stronger than you know. A heart of steel starts to grow. All his life he's been told he'll be nothing when he's old. All the kicks and all the blows he won't ever let it show. 'Cause he's stronger than you know. A heart of steel starts to grow. When you've been fighting for it. You learn to fly. Every opportunity, we need to fight for it all.
always got a beast in his belly that's so hard to control. Cause they've taken too much hits, they go blow by blow. Now a lighter match, stand back, watch him explode. She's got a lion in her heart, a fire in her soul. He's got a beast in his belly that's so hard to control. Cause they've taken too much hits, they go blow by blow. Now a lighter match, stand back, watch him explode. Struggling to make things right, that's how a superhero learns to fly.
The script on Radio 2. Sometimes scripts are quite useful. And that track is Superheroes. It's 6:22, it's been a memorable show. More in a moment. If anyone was offended by Sophie's accidental outburst, we apologize.
Can I apologize and say, can I blame it on cultural differences? Because honestly, and I had no idea. And in Denmark, you can say anything.
Okay.
But I won't even swear in Danish now. I'm so sorry.
That would be very good. More with Sophie and more with John Lloyd, who hasn't been associated with shows with this kind of language in a long time. After this.
One.
It's going to be one of the most important concerts of my entire life.
Let's go. There, I'm Laura Mvula.
This Tuesday night, BBC Radio 1 presents a special late night prom, premiering a unique orchestral remix of my music, led by conductor Jules Buckley.
Take me outside, sit in the green garden. Nobody out there, but it's okay now.
I'm so looking forward to performing at the Grand Royal Albert Hall with Holland's Metropole Orchestra. For me, it's where my album finds its climax. So I hope you'll share in it with me.
Laura Mvula, live at the BBC Proms.
This Tuesday night from 10:15, over on BBC Radio 1.
Now it's 6:23, Radio 2 in the big blue tent here at the Edinburgh Festival. On stage with Sophie Grabo and John Lloyd. So, John, tell us about your show.
I was going to talk about Jeremy Hunt, who used to be the culture secretary. But...
Now look what's happened. Okay, so John Lloyd's Museum of Curiosity Live. I'm going to get this show back on track. If it's the last thing, which it will be, the last thing I'll do. This is a spin-off from his Radio 4 panel show, where they don't tolerate any of this nonsense. Which remarkably is in its seventh series. Tell us what happens on the show, John Lloyd.
The Museum of Curiosity Live is a very like this show, but with less swearing. And it is a conversation between interesting people of all kinds, such as neuroscientists, archaeologists, war correspondents, and so on, and comedians. We have had fantastic casts on here in Edinburgh. Jimmy Carr, Susan Kalman, Al Murray, Clive Anderson, Rory Bremner, Daniel Sloss have all been on. And so there's a comedian, at least one, every day, and somebody really extraordinary. We just had an amazing person called Heather Berlin, who's a neuroscientist, a New York neuroscientist professor, talking about the science and neuroscience of creativity and what that all means. It's very little studied. So it's a fascinating mixture. And what often happens is the comedians are surprisingly serious. Al Murray on the importance of Madagascar in the Second World War was absolutely extraordinary. And then you have a neuroscientist being extraordinarily funny. This particular Dr. Heather Berlin is married to a rapper. And he raps on stage and she explains what's going on in his brain while he's doing it.
Wow.
It's absolutely fantastic.
And the kind of act that's made for you, really.
It could have been built specially for us, absolutely.
And this radio show is a spin-off. What's the relationship with QI? Because it's very much part of that same curiosity about
the world. We call it, it's the sister radio show of QI, really. I would have called it QI if anyone had allowed us to, but and it's made by exactly the same people, the same research team, or part of the same research team, and Dan Schreiber's one of the co-producers. He's an ex-QI elf. And it's all sort of mixed up. I could commend you, if you like podcasts, Dan, my producer, does a thing called No Such Thing as a Fish with three QI elves, which is where they meet every Friday and they tell each other what's the most interesting thing they found out that week. It's absolutely, it's riveting and very funny. The most interesting thing I found out this week is that 56% of British airline pilots admit to having fallen asleep on the job. And 29% have woken up to find their co-pilot asleep beside them.
You're kidding me.
Isn't that horrific?
And you have to say, actually, that's the most shocking thing of the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, close, close, yeah.
Sophie Crabble is with us as well. Actress, until recently, best known for her role as Sarah Lynn in The Killing. Anyway, she's in James III, The True Mirror, playing Queen Margaret. It's the third of Runa Munro's trilogy. Tell us about Queen Margaret, because she's a Dane. Is she not? Was she born a Dane?
She was a Dane, yes. She was the daughter of King Christian I, King of Norway and Denmark. And she came to Scotland when she was 12 and married James III of Scotland.
Because I have to admit, my medieval Scottish history is a little bit rusty.
Yeah, but actually that's one of the wonderful things about these three plays that Runa Munro has written, is that, because I actually thought when I was presented with these plays, I thought, oh God, medieval history and Scottish medieval history, how dusty can it get? But she actually writes so playfully and vividly that it becomes... I've discovered that my knowledge of medieval times was very, very limited. For instance, I learned from these plays that Margaret and King James III, they had so many marriage problems that they separated and split the kids and split the castles. And you know, a lot of course, they were people with people's problems They were just situated in a different time in history. But yes, it's very relevant and definitely not dusty at all.
And is this your first theatre show outside of Denmark?
Yes, it is. And after today, I'm afraid it's the last one in Scotland and the UK. But it's been fun.
No. You see, we love you, Sophie.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'll never get over this.
Why is it... For an actress of your calibre, why has it taken you so long to come to meet other audiences? Because clearly there is a market for you. People want to see you doing other things.
I don't think it's taken me so long. Obviously, The Killing made it possible. I guess I've been... For one thing, I've been waiting for the... I have two children in Copenhagen, so it has to be, you know, something I really want to... I pay a high price, and they pay a high price. Obviously, I fly home as often as I can, but it is a high price to pay. So I've been waiting for projects that really makes it worthwhile.
And how long is the play on for, Sophie? How long is your commitment to this particular production with the National Theatre of Scotland?
We finish here in Edinburgh on the 22nd, and then we come to the National in London, because it's a co-production between Scotland's National Theatre and National Theatre and Edinburgh Festival. And we play there until, I think, 29th of October.
John, we always love having you on the programme, because your mind is full of so many different things and fascinating facts and interesting stories. And I saw an interview with you very recently in which you said something along the lines of, we're about to change the way comedy is made. And I know that you feel a bit grumpy about the people who are in charge of television anyway, but can you explain what was going on there? Have you got some big secret that you're going to announce?
I don't know. I think we've got a number of ideas at QI how to fund programming from in a different way, so that at least we can make programs to pilot level. And what I want to be able to do is put the pilot on somebody's desk and say, do you want this? If you don't want it, just let us know, we'll take it somewhere else. Because I think the problem is with creativity in television at the moment, and it's not just in television, this is a problem in the armed services, it's a problem in the National Health Service, it's a problem in all sorts of places, is that there are too many people trying to predict excellence rather than let people who know what they're doing get on and do it. And this is what shows like The Killing do, and a lot of American television, is that they've given the command back to the people who actually know how to make film and television. Isn't that right, Sophie? I mean,
yeah,
I hope it is.
I completely agree.
John Lloyd's Museum of Curiosity Live is big show here up in Edinburgh. Sophie Grobbelaar is in James III, The True Mirror, playing Queen Margaret in that particular play. Sophie, thank you. It's been memorable. John, thank you very much indeed. A pleasure as ever. John Lloyd, Sophie Grobbelaar.